Welcome to Infusion, Prophetic Moment Live Open Forum Radio Broadcast. Here are Americus Cheney, Apostle of Sons and Daughters of Elijah Covenant Fellowship, and Dr. Clarice Cheney, Senior Pastor of Soul Harvest Ministries.
Well, good evening. God bless you.
Praise God. Praise God.
We're your host. I'm Americus Cheney.
Amen. This is Dr. Clarice Cheney.
Praise God. We have an awesome man of God in the house. He's going to bless us. I think everybody may know him. Amen. But we're going to allow the man of God to introduce. We're ecstatic. And he's going to bless your heart. Tell somebody. Get on Facebook. Get on the radio, because he's going to bless your heart. And we're proud in the Holy Ghost to have him. And without further ado, here's the man of God.
Amen.
What's going on, everybody? This is Bishop McKissick right from downtown. So glad to be with both of you tonight, Apostle. Just glad to be here, woman of God.
Amen.
Blessed to be here with you all, and to everybody that's listening. Y'all come and ride with us for a few minutes.
Hey, amen. And in the house we have Apostle Randy Anderson.
Amen.
Hello.
Your ministry, sir.
The mind of Christ.
Amen.
Apostle J.L. Reed, Mighty Rushing Wind Ministry
Amen.
Center.
Amen. And usually we have those that are here with us, and they're powerful men of God as well. But we have the bishop, and we're going to let Bishop just allow him to just flow in the Spirit of God to minister to those, to your heart. There are many things that are going on in the church world today, and we need answers, not as a specific local church within a specific mindset of something cognitive based on somebody else eisegeting the scripture, but someone that will come forth and begin to utter what the Lord would say, not as an individual, but as an individual with a purpose. And we're going to let the bishop just feel free to just carry on to minister to your hearts. We're talking about the condition or the state of the church, the era, not E-R-R-O-R, but E-R-A, of the church. And so we're going to allow him to just have his way these 30 minutes, and then he'll begin to talk about his book and talk about things that are happening at Bethel. Bishop, and I know that you've been around the country, and the Lord has begun to show you so many things that are happening right now. And what do you see as a man of God concerning the state of the church? Do you believe that we're in the age of apostasy? Do you believe the church is coming back to revival? Or what is the Lord showing you?
You know, Apostle, I think the church needs to come back to revival. I think there are so many different layers to that question on so many levels. We are seeing several things happen. One of the great tragedies we're seeing more and more now is church is becoming more of a marketing than it is a ministry.
Wow.
Everybody's competing.
Yes.
Everybody's trying to be the best instead of all of us trying to save the lost.
Wow.
Become huge competition. And so we try to make sure we have the best praise team, the best worship team, the best lighting, all of these things. And unfortunately, we're carrying on Sunday while the world is going to hell, and while principalities are obviously seeking to rule. When you look at the violence and everything that goes on in our world, that we are no longer, you know that word in Ephesians 6 where Paul talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood and against principalities and spiritual wickedness. And when he talks about that armor of God, in a real sense, when it comes to spiritual warfare and in the spirit realm, we are supposed to be the police.
Yes.
Even in the spirit realm, with our prayer life, with our heavenly language. I'm a Baptist, but I believe in heavenly language.
Come on, amen.
With all of those, that's why the Baptist folk put me out, because I believe in all this stuff. But we're not policing the spirit world like we should. And there are spirits that are at work.
Yes.
in the natural realm that the church is not attacking. We're so busy marketing our ministry that we're not doing ministry. It has become more about entertainment than it has become about empowerment. And then, you know, with these millennials now, I had somebody say to me last week, because in most of our churches, from one Sunday to the next, you don't know what kind of crowd you're going to have. You just don't. I mean, one Sunday you can be packed. The next Sunday you can be full but not packed. And somebody said to me, this new generation has lost the value of the church. And I said to them, no, I don't think so. I think this new generation has lost the value of the sanctuary.
Wow.
Because they will tell you in a minute they're watching you Facebook Live or on stream or on any of those things, but they're not in the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And there's something in the spirit that you can't get watching it in your bed or on your couch.
Yes.
There is something you can only get. There is a spiritual energy and a spiritual connection that you can only get in the sanctuary. Unfortunately, with the modern age of technology and the like, it has caused a devaluing of the gathering of the saints.
Jesus.
And of corporate worship. And I think that is hurting the church. And how do we return to the value of corporate worship? You know, when the Holy Ghost came, they were in one place.
Come on.
On one accord.
Yes, yes.
When the Holy Spirit fell, when
Amen.
Pentecost came, and that one place in one accord mentality, the church no longer has, unfortunately. We have lost our first love. I hear that in the spirit, what John the Revelator said. We have lost our first love. Now, of course, we know he meant then their love for Christ, but we have lost our love for corporate worship.
Yes.
I think also, now one thing anybody listening tonight knows about me, I don't bite my tongue much.
Obey God, Bishop.
Yes.
I don't have that. God hadn't given me that gift. We are living in a time of pulpit ignorance.
Say that again, Bishop.
Where preachers know nice phrases, but they don't know word.
Ooh. Jesus.
And what is happening because we don't know word is that we are falling prey and we are unable to defend against all of this new mixing and mingling of spirituality where, you know, now everybody is, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Well, that's dumb as far as I'm concerned. I understand there's much about religion that is bondage. There's much about religion that has nothing to do with the spirit world.
Yes.
I get that. Religion is man-made. I get that. All of that I understand. But it is within the element of religion where we do those things that express in a tangible way our faith in our God. And there's this new mix of spirituality. Nobody, you know, I'm not a Christian. I'm just spiritual. Well, that's not what we believe. But because there is a lack of knowledge from leadership, we are not teaching the pew how to deal with that. And we are losing the pew. Because we're dealing with the smartest generation of people we've ever dealt with because of Google and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But while they're the smartest, they're the less spiritual.
Yes.
And we're doing nothing to combat their intellect. And I believe in intellect. I don't want a dumb pew. I want them to be intellectual. Mm-hmm. I want them to do research and all of that. But I want them to have an in tune with the spirit. So that they can receive revelation and discernment that you can't go to Google and research.
Amen. That's true.
And we're missing a lot of those things in this modern day church.
So, because I hear you talking about a lot of spiritual, and I don't want to try to sound deep. I'm not trying to sound deep, but in the heavenly places, you because you're seeing a lot of spiritual things. So there are a lot of demonic activities in the atmosphere, the cosmic.
Yes.
Realm. The Bible says the Satan is the power of the prince of the air, the second heaven,
yes,
and how he rules. I think a lot of times we're not operating in the third heaven, which we ought to be.
Yes.
In that realm, and we're coming down to the second place of his dominion and authority, and we're seeing Ichabod over the churches. Some that you said, I wanted to ask this question because you were saying about addressing. Do you believe the church should address the rise of atheism, polytheism, and witchcraft?
Absolutely.
Because I see a lot of young women that are African-American and not prejudiced.
In witchcraft.
In witchcraft.
Absolutely.
Now. Address
it,
that,
it
sir.
It is more and more prevalent. It is, and it, that they're couching it in language that sounds spiritual, which is very, very dangerous. They're talking about this new witchcraft, and it's very prevalent with African-American women. They're talking this new witchcraft like it's spirituality and like it is, it involves the tenets of faith without God. And that's what I meant by this mixing and mingling. The church has to address everything from this witchcraft to atheism to polytheism. If you are mixing religions, that's polytheistic.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
The flip side is you can be polytheistic and be Christian because some people worship God and they worship their church.
Yes. Say it, Bishop.
And that's polytheistic to me.
Yes.
That's polytheistic to me. But the church has to address all of these issues. We have to address it in a way that we teach the people that we lead the word so that they are able to defend against these things. They're able to talk sensibly from the word of God. Because if you don't have word and you listen to some of these people, it sounds logical.
Yes.
In many instances, it sounds good. An atheist sounds logical.
Yes.
But faith doesn't work on logic. So I would expect them to sound logical, and I'm not going to argue with an atheist because my argument comes from a different place than the logic you're trying to bring me.
Yes.
Because I operate by faith. I operate in a realm you can't see.
Yes.
I believe what I can't see.
That's right.
I don't see, and then I believe.
Amen.
I believe, and then God shows me.
Yes.
And so we have to address all of these issues if we're going to combat all of the principalities and spirits and new ideologies that we see rising.
And we're seeing it all over the country.
Yes.
And because you're mentioning a lot about the church being empowered.
Yes.
Back again, we need discernment. And I believe that the relationship, I always say this right here, Bishop, is that we're having church, but without the God of the church. Yeah. Without the Jesus, we want to manifest the glory, but yet there's no suffering. There's no coming out of, you know, we have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Mm-hmm. And we're saying, as long as I serve God, I'm okay.
Right.
But yet then we're practicing other things other than God because there's only one way.
Right.
Yes.
To the Father, and that's through Yeshua, Jesus Christ,
right,
alone and Savior.
Right.
And what does the church you see needs to do at this moment in time to get that fever, to get that joy, to get that fire, kindle that fire back?
Well, you said something. We're good at having church. We're bad at having worship.
Well,
we do church. We do church well. We do church well every Sunday. But I am not a believer that just because we had church meant we were in worship.
Yes.
Jesus.
Because a lot of the things that we do at church have nothing to do with worship.
Yes.
We have allowed the constructs, now here I go getting in trouble, the constructs of our denominationalism, that ain't got nothing to do with the word. You know, I tell people all the time about Bethel. As a matter of fact, we don't even go by Bethel Baptist now, we're just the Bethel Church.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, they ask me, well, are you a Baptist church? I say, no, I'm not a Baptist church. I'm a church that happens to have a Baptist label on it.
Yes.
Because labels limit you. And
yes.
If you can define me, you can confine me.
Yes, yes.
And I think what has happened is all of us are in our little corners with our different beliefs. Mm-hmm. And none of us are really drawing close to God.
Yes.
Because our denominations have become our God. And our religious practices have become our God.
Yes, yes.
And our religious practices that have nothing to do with the Bible but are built on our social constructs and our social and cultural beliefs and upbringings that we have infused and that we have imposed upon the Bible, things that have nothing to do with the word. We're so busy caught up in all of these things that we're not drawing near to God, and we are not hearing the voice of God and feeling the heart of God. And I think until we get rid of all of these barriers of having church and just learn how to freely worship,
yes,
then
yes,
we're never going to return to that joy.
And you and that's so powerful, because you talk about that worship. You know, Jesus says, how long have you been with me that you cannot do a miracle? Worship is a part of acknowledging the Most High God. If a bird flies, it acknowledges God and do worship him, because how God created him in his natural habitat. As us being the beloved of the Lord, we ought to worship him. He said that worship me in spirit and truth. In other words, those that worship me have to worship me in spirit and truth. Only my own kind.
Yes.
Because none cannot worship. Throwing up our hands, beloved, those that are listening are not worship. Doing the run of the mill is not worshiping. Yeah. Yes. Do you have his spirit?
Right.
And he's drawn to his spirit. Bishop, how do we integrate the millennials to the old fascist ways of the old, because you mentioned my Bethel, because I know it's some church people that has been in my age coming up, and we're used to doing one thing.
Right.
This is how we do it. Millennials, they come, they say, this how we do it.
Right.
Which one is correct? How do we integrate in building that bridge?
I think it's not a either or. It's not a this is how we do it, this is how we do it. It is developing an appreciation for how all of us do it and bringing a synergy of that together. You know, I think about Bethel. I mean, when I was growing up, you know, first of all, when I was growing up, you didn't say amen in Bethel. No, seriously, you didn't. You better not even look like you were going to breathe amen. You know, we just didn't do that.
So none of the Shikama come anew.
No, you better not even try nothing like that.
Okay.
And it was a strong church always, you know, but it was an older kind of congregation and the like, but always a strong church to be sure. Just, you know, it was different.
Yes.
Now the median age in our church is 34. There's an incredible charismatic energy in our church.
Yes.
The fullness of the Holy Spirit. But we have not lost much of what was a part of who we were.
Yes.
Well, here's what I mean by that. When I was growing up in Bethel, hymns were huge in Bethel. I mean, we didn't have church service without a hymn. And I've kept that.
Yes.
But we've learned how to worship even with hymns. From a hymn to Planet Shakers, you know,
yes,
or from a hymn to Hillsong or whoever. We have learned how to worship and not be caught up on a style.
Yes.
Yes.
That's been very important, because many people worship a style instead of having a style of worship.
Oh, okay, that's good.
And that's where churches get caught. We've learned to develop an appreciation for styles.
Yes.
And that the key is not the style, the key is the worship. And once again, still breaking down barriers. Like at Bethel now, we don't never dress up. We dress up first Sunday for the Lord's Supper. That's the old school in me.
Yes.
But other than that, every Sunday we dress down. You know, I preach in jeans not just summertime, every summer. And we developed an appreciation for just being in worship. And what we began to notice was, Now I got everything in my church, from the judge to the stripper, from the lawyer to the drug dealer.
Yes.
From those who got cocoa butter on their arms to those who got tattoos on their arms. The bishop got tattoos. I hope I don't get in trouble in saying that here with y'all. I know y'all real apostolic, but
come on, Bishop.
I got about 9 of them. Just to let y'all know. But it is, this new generation needs transparency.
Yes.
And
that's,
come on now.
So that's kind of what you're seeing with me right now.
Mm-hmm. Be real. Amen.
This new generation, they're like a dog. Here's what I mean. A dog knows when you're scared of him or her.
Right.
You ain't got to say nothing.
That's right.
A dog will.
That's right.
This new generation, they know when you fake. They know when you flossing. They know when you green.
Yes.
They know when you ain't real.
My mm-hmm. God, come
they,
on.
They want somebody who is transparent.
Yes.
You know, in my pulpit, they know I've had drunk nights. As a youngster, as a college student, they know I've, you know,
yes.
I was a little player in college. And I was sleeping with Lottie Dottie and everybody. And the Lord delivered me from that.
Amen.
I don't have a problem talking about that stuff.
Come on. Yes.
Because God delivered me from it. Secondly, it lets people in that audience who struggle with that know I'm not going to be judgmental about it.
Yes.
Thirdly, yes. I become the perfect example to them that the power of the cross and the power of the blood,
yes, sir,
can heal you and deliver
come
you
on,
from it.
Amen,
yes,
amen.
Lord.
It takes that kind of transparency in this modern day. They're not looking for nobody to stand up there and beat them over the head
come
with
on.
The Bible and tell them they're sinners and they're going to hell and they, you be like me. No, that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for somebody who can say, I've been where you are.
Yes.
I've done what you've done. I've probably done worse than you've done. Mm-hmm. And if God can save me and make me a leader,
yes,
then God not only can save you and has died to save you, he has an assignment for you in spite
Amen.
Of whatever you've
Hallelujah.
Gone through. That's what they're looking for in this time. And I think in many instances, that's what we're missing. Y'all got a bodyguard for me when I leave.
You see that 6? What I told you,
Lord, 6 mercy. Help me tonight, Lord. Help me tonight.
But no, you're telling the truth, because if my hair, I get a sponge on it, and they call it the nappy headed style.
You got
when
a sponge
me,
now? I can
yeah,
tell
you.
Yeah, they just
go
got
down.
That fresh cut.
Isn't that your wife?
Your sponge.
No,
it's
good.
Hey, Bartlett, Doc, you were supposed to have been here, but anyway, Herbert Bartlett passed.
That's one
I know
of my
you
son.
Watching, Doc. Yeah, he was open. He got that crinkle stuff.
He
and,
does.
But, and you know,
he
and,
does.
When, and when people see us like that, they expect, especially me, oversee several churches. I'm down to earth. I trip and have fun. You guys, y'all know it.
You have to.
Because people want to see genuineness.
You have to.
They want to see the power of God, but they want to see authentic.
Yes.
You know, genuine. I don't say, well, thank the Lord. God bless you. Thank hallelujah. And that's all you see.
It's not going to work.
And people will draw from you other than to come to you.
It's not going to work.
Yes.
Amen. Bishop, begin to describe what you're doing at Bethel. And then the second segment, y'all stay on, because we're going to have people to call in. We're going to be here. And then you can ask the Bishop McLaughlin. Bishop, you on my mind. You must be talking about me.
Lord, you done
take
called me.
Take my name out your mouth.
I'm going to call him as soon as I leave.
My God. But anyway, he's going to talk about some things that's happening at Bethel. And then the second segment, we're going to come in and we're going to talk about it much more. And you can call in. Bishop, you have the floor, sir.
Man, listen, the Lord is really doing some great things at our church. This week, we're doing some. One of the things that we're trying to be very intentional about at the church, Apostle, is we're trying to go beyond the walls and do ministry. One of the things I say on a consistent basis in our church is that if all you do is meet on Sundays, you're not a church, you're an event center. Because all you're doing is having a weekly event.
Yes.
If you're not going beyond the walls and trying to bless others. And so I the Lord laid it on my heart, and I threw the challenge out to our people. This coming Tuesday, we're trying to give away 1,500 Thanksgiving baskets
yes.
to 1,500 needy families. And our people are responding. You know, Monday we're going to put the baskets together. Tuesday we're going to give them away. Just trying to be a blessing to others.
Yes.
And then this coming Saturday, I'm so excited about this. Many people, if you're a history buff, you remember Memphis, the Greenwood neighborhood that got rioted and tore down by white people. It was rebuilt and they called it Wall Street, Black
yes.
Wall
yes.
Street. Well, we're doing this thing Saturday called Black Wall Street Holiday Style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Friday is Black Friday. I don't know why they call it that, you know, across the country, but we're calling Saturday Black Saturday from a positive sense.
Yes.
Saturday is also Small Business Day. And so what we're doing on Saturday, and if you are a vendor and you are listening to me, call the church office on Saturday, 904-354-1464, and ask for Cynthia Lilly if you are a vendor, and she will give you information about it. We're turning our gymnasium into a mall on this next Saturday, and we're having business owners, African-American business owners, whatever their goods and services might be, to rent space. This is not a Bethel event. Bethel is not making money. We're not getting a percentage of anything. It was just something the Lord laid on my heart to pour back into our community, and particularly into entrepreneurs in our community. And so from 10 to 3 next Saturday, we're having Black Wall Street Christmas style. Vendors of all merchandise, goods and services will be there. We've got food. Child, the red truck is going to be there. Now, if you ain't from the north side in the hood, you don't know what the red truck is. But God lives in the red truck. But we've got the red truck. We've got Mr. Potato Spread. We've got the Honey Dripper.
Yes.
Yeah. We got y'all know what Honey Dripper is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We got the so you can tell I grew up around the hood.
Yeah.
We got the Honey Dripper truck. Yes. We're going to have Christmas music playing. And once again, and I'm inviting everybody. It's not a church event. It's not a Bethel event. Anybody can not only come, but I'm inviting everybody. And if you are a vendor of any kind, once again, call the church and ask for Cynthia Lilly, and she can give you that information on how to participate on Saturday. One last thing that I'm really excited about, man, just last Sunday, we made a huge announcement at the church. My father has over 75 sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. I got 1 minute. I can talk fast. He's got over 75 sons and daughters. And if I got to come back on the other side, I can tell I've done this right. We are starting a fellowship.
Okay.
Kingdom Agape Covenant Fellowship, where my father is going to be the presiding bishop.
Wow.
And so I'll have more information in January. He's already a bishop. We're going to elevate him to the presidership. Bishop Ivy Hilliard, who is my other spiritual father, Bishop Neil C. Ellis, who is my big brother, and Bishop Vaughn McLaughlin, who is my brother. All
Amen.
Are going to participate in that. We're inviting the city to come to that. So, man, we've got some great and exciting things that are going
Amen.
On at the church.
Amen. And so God bless you. Stay tuned to the second segment, and we're going to have the bishop stay over, and you can call in. God bless you.
You be blessed. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Infusion with Americus and Clarice Cheney. If you would like to correspond with or contact this ministry, you can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And visit them online at soulharvestfamilyworshipministries.org.